This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector. Investigative conversations about issues that impact our lives. Be curious. Friday mornings at 9 a.m. only on 101.9 High FM.
And yes, this is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector. And we are back again. This time, we're speaking to South African and global, I guess, arts and culture. And we're talking to Greg Homan, who is the artistic director at the Market Theatre. We talked to Greg when he first took his job up at the Market Theatre some years ago, in fact. And he was just getting his feet wet and his directions right. And now he's been there for a few years. And this year is a particularly special year for the Market Theatre. It marks their, hold on to your hats, folks, it marks their 50th anniversary. 50, is that right? Is it really the 50th anniversary?
It is. Brooks, it's great to be with you today. I joined the Market Theatre 3 years ago, give or take 2 weeks. And yes, it's the 50th year of the Market Theatre. We opened our doors as a theatre in the same week, in fact, as the June 16th, 1976 uprising. So a remarkable synergy there in connecting the politics of the country with the cultural life of this wonderful institution that I currently have the privilege of being the artistic director of.
Yeah, the first play was an Anton Chekhov play. I was here, so I remember all this. And Chekhov didn't immediately, to my 26-year-old mind, strike me as the immediately appropriate choice. But the more I thought about it over the years, the more accurate it seemed to be. Play number two was The Crucible, an American play by Arthur Miller. And number three was...
Not 100% correct on the second one there. The second play was Marat Sade.
Upstairs, it was actually the Crucible, because I bought two nights of it for the...
Oh, I see. And after the Seagull closed, yes, I suppose. Okay.
Because given the circumstances of what was happening in the country, a play about intolerance and false accusations and all kinds of terrible things seemed oddly appropriate for the times that we were living in. And so we filled the theater with invited guests. We used that as a 4th of July presentation of all things. And then you did Marat Sade. And I believe that was the opening play downstairs, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, so that's absolutely correct. So The Seagull opened upstairs. And then, as you say, The Crucible followed in the upstairs theater. And then in October of 76, the main theater, as it was called then, it's now called the John Carney Theater, as you well know, opened with a very extensive production of Marat Sade. I say extensive because it had a remarkable cast. When you look at the list of names of people that were involved in that original production of Marat Sade, it's kind of the who's who of South African theater, many of whom are still active today, including people like Sandra Prinsloo, Malcolm Perkey, and a number of others.
One of your predecessors as artistic director, of course, was Malcolm Perkey, and he likes to remind people that he played a bearded nun in Marat Sade.
He said that to me only 2 days ago. He said that to me in one of our theaters here. He was visiting us just 2 days ago, and he said he reminded us exactly of that. Yes.
We didn't give Greg sufficient introduction. He's a remarkably diverse and talented and well-educated and thoughtful man with degrees from WITS and in Britain. And he has worked on any number of plays and dramatic efforts in South Africa and abroad. And the Market Theatre is actually quite lucky to have him at the tiller these days. Tell me a little bit about, and I want to break this conversation into sort of three categories of things. The one is what, in fact, the Market Theatre is doing to commemorate or celebrate. I'm not sure which of the two words is appropriate, maybe both. Its 50th year of creativity. The nature of theater is in this country now. A little bit about the schedule that you actually have going on for this year, and then thoughts more generally about the nature and future of live theater, where it should go, perhaps, and what it might look like in an age which communication and cultural life is very different from the way in which the market theater opened itself. But first, if you could turn our attention to what you have planned for this calendar year of 2026.
Yeah, well, those are four quite loaded questions. I'll start, as you say, start with the first. So we're planning on acknowledging the 50 years in various the 50th year in various ways across the whole calendar year, and we are kicking off actually tonight is the first preview of Marabi. Will open on Sunday with us. And Marabi is a work that didn't start with us, but it was made by Junction Avenue Theatre Company. We mentioned Malcolm Perkey a moment ago. He was deeply involved and the sort of lead artist at Junction Avenue Theatre Company. And as a precursor to their kind of seminal piece, which was the Fire Town as a musical, they made in a few years earlier a piece called Marabi. And Marabi is set in Doornfontein in what were known as, I suppose, the sort of shack area or the slums of Doornfontein of the 1930s, and the emergence of a form of music, South African music, called Marabi. And so that didn't start with us as a production, but was made in the early 80s. It has had one revival with us in the 90s, but we're now reviving it for the start of our 50th year with Arthur Molepo, original cast member of Marabi, directing that. So that kind of kicks off our year. At the same time, this weekend, we welcome a group from Memphis, Tennessee, a theater called Hattie Lou. And Hattie Lou is a African-American owned and run theater in Memphis. And they will be bringing a production called Blues in the Night, which is a Tony nominated musical, which is going to be with us. It's a small-scale musical, cast of four, and it's in our small space. So Marabi and Blues in the Night kind of run back-to-back over the course of the next few weeks. And the logic there is obviously we've got Marabi, a South African form of music that deals with hope and resilience during kind of oppressive times, against the counterpoint of American blues music that in some way fulfills a similar function within the American context. Without going through the whole program, although to say that you're getting a sneak peek, which is great for your listeners, because on the 13th of March we'll announce the as much of the program as we can. So we're aiming to do a full media launch on the 13th of March. But what some of the things that people can expect is in June we will have our birthday month celebration. So we're busy firming up where the funding for that is going to come from and what we're going to exactly deliver. The hope is that we deliver a review style sampling of some of the most significant plays, extracts from some of the most significant plays over a week-long programming, where we can get as many people who want to join us for that celebration into the building and to revisit some of that. And then in October, we're looking at putting the spotlight more on the many hundreds of wonderful people that have contributed to building the space, from council members, yourself being one of them over the years, to stage managers, to lighting designers, to directors, to actors, to playwrights, to funders, to supporters, to patrons, and so on. So in October, we're trying to ambitiously acknowledge as many of the people that are still alive and who have passed in their role of building this wonderful space. So those June and October are kind of anchor points. Then more broadly across the year, we have a series of new plays. The focus of the year is very much on telling the story of today and setting a tone for the future while looking back at the past. So we're not trying to, I've resisted the temptation to do a series of revivals across the year. and rather we're opting for work that in some way tells the story of ourselves or the country, but with new contemporary South African work at the heart of it, and the people that maybe have been part of the last 50 years being involved in some way in some of those productions. So we've got a whole real wonderful gamut of brilliant, I think, new South African works, some of which are also musical theatre-based new South African works. Do you want a sampling of some of those?
I want to take a quick ad break, and then we'll get to the sample. This is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector, and my guest today, I'm delighted to have Greg Holman, the artistic director of the Market Theater, and we're talking 50th anniversaries and everything therein. We'll be right back after these messages.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector. And my guest today, I'm really pleased, Greg Holman, Artistic Director of the Market Theater. And just before we took our station break and commercial break, Greg was about to give us a sampling of some of the works that are coming up in following months. And I paused you just for a moment. Now, let me unpause you, and please go ahead and continue.
Yeah, so I've already mentioned Marabi and Blues in the Night. In March, we have a brilliant new production called Acetus Ubuntu, which is being made by Empathetre. If anyone's visited us in the last 2 years, they might know the works that Empathetre have done with us recently, the one being Isidlam Lilo, The Fire Eater, a remarkable one-woman show that won Best New Production at the Naledi Awards. And they also did with us last year a piece called The Last Country, which looked at a woman from across the African continent who migrated to Durban and Cape Town and the sort of journeys that they've taken. Acetus Ubuntu is actually the sort of designing principle of it, and it has funding from Ibsen grant in Norway, but the framing device of the play is essentially Ibsen's play Enemy of the People. Mm. Which, if any of your listeners know Ibsen's Enemy of the People, is a remarkable work written over 100 years ago that is about essentially a whistleblower. I suppose in contemporary terms, we would call it a whistleblower, someone who stands up for what is right and good, but because of what they do, they are ostracized and they become an enemy of the people. So that is the framing device of the work, although the actual work is going to be set in the KZN. A lot of Empathetre's work is grounded there. It's deeply grounded in research, and it's actually about climate change. And it follows the story of two matriarchs, in this instance, an elephant and a woman from KZN, and the relationship that they forge and the way in which the woman from KZN takes a stand against the injustice of what is happening essentially in a way that is damaging the earth and damaging the environment. And it's got puppets and music and a really large scale cast. So that's an exciting work in March. In April, we made a piece last year with Kosovo. We sent three South African actors and a musician to Kosovo. We made a piece in broad terms that's about the forgiveness process, partly around our Truth and Reconciliation Commission, but also around what were known in Kosovo as the blood killings, and subsequently a moment in Kosovo where there were the forgiving of the blood as a process. So the piece looks at, in quite an irreverent and somewhat playful way, despite its heavy material, at forgiveness and what 30 years on from forgiveness process are we left with? What is the remnants of that time? So that's called Under the Shade of a Tree, I Sat and Wept. And it's with us in April before having a huge international tour that includes most parts of Europe, Portugal, Germany, France, Italy, Norway, and I'm sure I'm leaving some out, and all the way up until 2027, where it will be going to New York. Then I'm going to jump ahead. I'm going to skip May for now. June, we've got a new commission with the Baxter Theatre around June 16th and the youth uprising that we share moment with, and it'll be the 50th year of the June 16th Soweto uprising. So we've commissioned a brilliant play, a brilliant playwright from Cape Town called Tia Setso. She's a brilliant female playwright who's won the Fleur de Cap for the last 2 years in Cape Town. She'll be doing that. Then I'm jumping ahead. I'll leave out July. I'm going to jump to August. We have A Good House, a wonderful play by Cape Town-based playwright Amy Japta that we were associate producers on the beginning of last year with the Royal Court and Bristol Old Vic. Many people will not know that we were an associate producer on that work, a work that was hugely well received in the Royal Court in London, and then went on to Bristol Old Vic. Over 9,000 people saw it. And it's a comedy about three young couples living in Cape Town who live in a gated community. It's two white couples and a black couple, and on a vacant plot in this gated community, a shack appears, and this sparks much conversation and debate between these three young South African couples who are owning property for the first time. So you can hear that even if I just pause there, it's a series of a lot of brand new contemporary plays that, yes, reflect on parts of our history, but are also really grappling with some of the questions that we deal with today. Alongside all of that, briefly, there's a music, there's some comedy as well in the mix that we'll all announce, and there's a series of festivals, some of which are dance festivals and others that we launched over the last 2-3 years, as well as possibly one or two new festivals that will be launched this year as legacy projects.
As we reflect on the history of the Market Theater, and even actually before it was finished, and when we were still talking about the company, that is the group of actors and actresses that were functioning around Barney Simon, who was your predecessor as artistic director. The theater got its reputation nationally and globally as the source for what was sometimes called protest theater and was sometimes called liberation theater. And from what you've said, and from what I sense, there is a nod toward that, but it is not still the primary driving force. Circumstances, life, the world has changed, so you have to appreciate and acknowledge, but you have to move on. Is that hard, or is that a wrenching thing, or is that inevitable? How do you approach that?
No, I think that's exactly right, Brooks. I think that we absolutely recognize the legacy of what the Market Theatre became known for and the important role it played as a socio-politically conscientized space that stood on the right side of history from its early days. So that's the legacy that we carry and that we want to build on. So the work that we have been choosing for our 50th year, and that really we've been programming now for the last 2-3 years, has been leaning into that, but in a way that achieves two things. One, that speaks to our contemporary moment so that we're not looking back only. And if we are looking back, it's because we're wanting to understand something about today that is helpful to us today and helpful to our future. So it is that connection. The second thing is that it absolutely, in my view, needs to be entertaining. It needs to be done with a lightness of touch. It needs to be done with a sense of humor. And it needs to hone in on the relationships of South Africans in all forms and of its diversity. So my mandated role is to program for the diversity of the country. We've done works across age, race, gender, theme, politics, because of that. And so we'll have moments where we're leaning a little bit more into one type of politics or one type of demographic. But I'm hoping that, you know, across a calendar year, we're getting a really quite broad cross-section of audiences that are hopefully getting interested and curious about not only the work that's the obvious work for them to attend, but also go, actually, I went to watch, for example, The Life and Times of Michael Caine or The Promise. I really loved it. Maybe I want to see this thing called Asita Subuntu, which sounds alien to me because maybe that's not my first language. But because I've had such a good time here, I'm curious to come back for something that might challenge and push me to think about watching something different. So it's very much about getting that balance. And as you say, leaning on the great legacy. It would be a real shame if the programming didn't acknowledge the identity of the theatre that has been so strong and so successful, not only locally, but internationally, that the Market Theatre has a hand in producing.
Yeah, one of the some of what you just said triggers my memory of the famous quotation from Giuseppe Verdi, the opera composer, when he was interviewed by a major Italian newspaper, and they said, "Maestro Verdi, what is your theory of opera?" And Verdi, looked at him piercingly, focused right on him, and said, "My theory of opera, the seat should be filled."
Exactly. So it's no good if we're programming sort of lofty, high moral work that, is seeking to change the world and no one comes. We need to make work that excites people, that creates a curiosity, that has a productive tension, that is full of debate and critique and the possibility for conversation, and most importantly, is stimulating and relates to people's lives.
We're going to take another quick ad break. This is The Deep Dive, and your regular host, Brooke Spector. I'm speaking with Greg Homan, Artistic Director of the Market Theatre, that theatre, and it is that Greg Homan, and he's outlined this enormously interesting program for the 50th anniversary year of the theatre. Just a comment, the Empath Theatre, that is a theatre group, a production I saw a couple of years ago in Durban with three people, different versions of how they had to react to climate change. It's been one of the only plays I've seen in many years that actually made me cry. It was so impactful that it triggered something in me, and I was dabbing my eyes with my handkerchief, and my daughter was crying, and she's borrowing my handkerchief, and the rest of the audience is starting to. I look forward to seeing that work, almost whatever language it's in. We're going to take that break, and then we'll be right back. We'll continue our conversation with Greg.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, and we're speaking with Greg Homan, the artistic director. I'm your host, Brooke Spector. Greg, I wanted to talk about the larger impact of theater drawing on the Market Theater's place, central role. You mentioned that in October you're going to do something to honor or to incorporate or encompass all the people who have had a role in it over the years. And I suspect that almost everybody in theater now, in one way or another in this country, or who used to be in this country, has had a hand in something that was Market Theater related, whether they were ticket sellers or scene painters or actors, actresses, coaches, dramaturges. What is the larger impact of theater in South Africa now? What is its place? What does it what What's its function? What's it do?
For me,
Easy
and
question. No problem.
I'm talking as in my personal capacity, I suppose, as a theatre maker, is I believe it makes us feel and it makes us think, and it helps us understand where we live and how we live. So that's, I suppose, the sort of high level kind of thing that I think not only theatre does, but I think storytelling does. I think what theatre does particularly well, and I think we've appreciated this more, and I think our audiences are appreciating this more after having spent a period where we couldn't engage physically in the same spaces because of the pandemic. And that is that theatre allows communion, that it allows a community who don't necessarily even know each other. In fact, they often don't know each other. We often sit in theatre alongside people we don't know. And we are able to share a journey through a story, a set of themes and ideas, a set of images that becomes a kind of shared experience. I think it's a great shame that cinemas are essentially struggling to stay open, not only in South Africa but across the world, because people can find that experience in their own homes. You can't find the experience of theatre in your own home because you can't sit alongside complete strangers in a space and be captive for a period of time where you watch and experience a story together. And I think that in that sense, theatre theater offers a very, very special place. It's since we've reopened after the pandemic and since we've invited audiences back, we now have around 60,000 people come through our door in a year. That number has been growing since I've arrived. I'm very pleased to say that number's been growing. We would love that number in our 50th year to grow even more. But we've got 60,000 people roughly who come through our doors every day or every year, and experience what we have to offer. So I think our role is to, and certainly the Market Theatre's role has been to give people a space where they can share an experience of storytelling that makes them think, makes them feel, and hopefully gives them a sense of the kind of place that they live in and how they contribute to it. And so I think at the moment, theatres are certainly our theatre, I think, is doing nicely in that. Of course, we would always love it to be doing better, but we like the fact that audiences seem to want to be in our space. And the other thing is also how we give them an experience around that. So we've refurbished our foyer over the last 2 years. We are programming exhibitions and other kinds of events that act as kind of complementary events to visiting us in the theatre. And one of the things in our 50th year that we determined to do is get the Market Theatre, the Market that was so well known at the Market Theatre, back. And it might not be immediately the form that we might know of the 80s and 90s where it took over Mary Fitzgerald Square, but nonetheless to have a number of stalls that are part of a market over the weekend that sit in our space so that we have this experience of coming to a space where, as you say, there is a sense of shared ownership. It's a space that I've worked, I've seen stuff, I first encountered South African theatre, I first encountered theatre, and so on.
Way back in the 1980s and early 90s, when you went to that perennial South African institute, especially Johannesburg institution, the Friday night or Saturday night dinner party with friends and associates, one of the inevitable topics of conversation was always a new play at the Market Theatre. And if you hadn't gone or did not yet have tickets for it, people made you feel as if you really didn't belong at that table. You were not really part of the people who knew and understood things. And it was that sense of an extended communion, that it wasn't simply the event itself, but it was its larger sense of repercussions and eddies and reflections that went on through with people you knew, people you loved, people you didn't like. And argued about things with. And I can recall any number of those cases where a play was deemed to be both controversial, loved, hated, and generating anger or something other, on some other emotion, all sort of simultaneously.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And it's, you know, one of the hopes for me is that in my time in this role of artistic director, that I bring Joburg as a city closer to the idea that theatre can be part of daily life. And what you're talking about is daily life doesn't mean you have to go to the theatre every day, but it means that there is an awareness of the conversation that is happening in the space of our theatres, and that is part of the daily work conversation, the conversation at a dinner party, and so on. And it's why we have this great opportunity that's unique to the Market Theatre, that not all theatres have, which is that we've got three spaces. We don't always have enough money to program all three spaces at the same time, but we very often program at least two at the same time. And then we can create a conversation across productions. So like I mentioned earlier, we've got Marabi, which is about music in the South African context. We've got Blues in the Night, which is about music in the American context. And how do these two ideas of music as an experience, as a theatrical performance element, how does that contribute to how we understand ourselves culturally? And how do we reflect on that in terms of the USA and South Africa, both historically and in this sort of strange contemporary moment that our countries jostle? So those productive tensions that can happen not only in the work, but the conversation starters that can happen between work and between different productions that are programmed at the same time, for me, are what I like to really dig my teeth into as a kind of curatorial exercise across the theater spaces we have.
Yeah, I mean, some plays, some works on stages, they're serious works, but they're also insanely funny at times. I mean, they can generate, the audience is not sure it's allowed to laugh sometimes, but they're funny. And I'm thinking, it just to the top of my head, I'm thinking of the Fugard Tani in Shona play, Says We Bonzi Is Dead, which is a classic and which has had numerous occasions on stage. And I've seen it various times in Johannesburg, different sometimes a different cast. And the audience, of course, is getting younger, and they're seeing it now as an historical moment. And they're not sure, what am I watching? Am I watching history? Am I watching a comedy? Is this a tragedy? Is it a farce? And in a sense, the play stopped being a reflection of real life and started being a reflection upon previous life at the same time as it was a commentary on the universality of things. And to sit and watch it with an audience of 30-year-olds is a profoundly different version of things than watching it with people your age or older, my age, who remember the circumstances.
And I, you know, as you were speaking before, you mentioned Says We Bonzi Is Dead. I was thinking of Wazza Albert, which, you know, started with us in the early 80s, a wonderful political satire, really, about life in the early 80s and the experiences particularly of, you know, Black South Africans during the early part of the 80s, and a hugely funny work in a very different way, but nonetheless relatable in terms of tone, is A Good House, the Amy Japta play that I mentioned that will be with us in August. It's, you know, it's a play essentially about what it means to be a young South African who's owning property for the first time, having to deal with being part in a productive way of a community across different racial groups, carrying the burden and the history of what our race politics carries. And that sounds very academic and very lofty, but the piece is a very, very funny play. And we laugh at ourselves sitting there. And London and Bristol laughed at something that they recognized, even though they weren't necessarily South Africans, that they recognized the universality of what it means to be a young generation trying to get a foot in the middle class door, but where we carry these burdens of whatever our economy and our past and our history might be.
This is The Deep Dive, and I'm delighted to be speaking with Greg Holman, artistic director at the Market Theatre. And we're talking about not just the 50th anniversary of the Market Theatre itself and this year's productions, as well as the nature, the place, the circumstances of theatre. And we will be right back after these messages.
This is The Deep Dive with Brooke Spector.
This is The Deep Dive, of course, and I'm your host, Brooke Spector, at our usual time on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock. And then, of course, it's podcast thereafter, and everybody can listen to it over and over again. And we are speaking with Greg Holman, the artistic director at the Market Theatre. And we've talked about the 50th anniversary of the Market Theatre and its history and legacy. We've talked about the productions coming up for this year by way of celebrating, commemorating, and marking that anniversary. But also, we talked some about the nature of theater and what it does. And I like that word, universalizing the experience. And I think when a piece of theater works well, it's in its time, it's in its place, but you're allowed to think about it in a much broader sense as well. I mean, nobody watches Hamlet anymore to figure out the castle politics in medieval Denmark.
And it's an important point you make, because, you know, I think one of the failings of South African theatre in some respect over the many, many years is that we have, I think, led some of our audience to believe that if the people on stage don't look and sound like them, then it's not about them. By nature, and you mentioned the Crucible, it's an allegory. It's set in the Salem witch trials, but we know it's originally about McCarthyism. And if we had to restage it today, we would know that it's also about America today in some respect, and other parts of the world today. So this idea that theater is only a reflection of the characters that are in it and the context that's in it is a failing if that's the view of the audience, because it's, theater thrives when it deals with metaphor, and we're in the business of metaphor. We're in the business of representing something that becomes a reflection of something else.
A couple of years back, there was a, I think, I guess it was just before the COVID pandemic put everybody, in an absolute state of turmoil. There was a traveling British company, not a famous company, but their mission was they were taking a play to every country on the planet over a year. The cast would evolve, wouldn't always be the same exact people because some of them had other jobs that they actually had to return to, or they wanted to meet their wife or partner or a child again. But they came here and they did Hamlet. Now, everybody knows who goes to theater knows something about the play Hamlet. They know that lots of people die in the end and a terrible thing, and there are all kinds of existential explanations about life. But they did something which I thought was magnificently different and reminded us about that metaphorical moment. They started the play before the play, in the dressing room, as the actors were coming in one at a time to get out of their street clothes and get themselves organized for their on-stage garb. And so you saw them shifting out of every day and becoming this metaphorical nature of reality and truth and justice and thought and whatever else Hamlet's supposed to do. And the production of Hamlet was, pretty straightforward, by the book kind of thing. It forced you to realize you were watching play. And in fact, at some point in the play, you're watching a play about a play, which is about a play, the way it's acted.
And what you're sharing reminds me of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, the wonderful play by Tom Stoppard,
Oh,
who
yeah.
passed away late last year, where you've got these two characters from Hamlet, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, and they don't know that they're in a play, and they stuck on the sort of edges of their own existence and are waiting for something to happen, a bit like waiting for Godot and Beckett, because and actually it's a piece around purpose and finding purpose and the existential crisis of feeling like you don't have a purpose, and so on. And it's a wonderfully funny, irreverent play that uses Hamlet and two characters from it, and captures a sense of what it means to live with or without purpose.
In the meantime, all that carnage is taking place as various people get killed in sword fights or poisoned drinks or suicides or stabbings by accident. And that's all just the backdrop to Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. You're sort of like, what in the world is happening in this world? I want to, in the last couple of minutes, just get you to talk about the future of theater, not necessarily just the market theater as theater, but in a world in which people can online stream live productions of any number of plays from any number of venues around the world, where we can watch all kinds of things that are no longer just theater, but are type things, you have a fairly confined universe to work with. Where are we going to go in 10 years' time? What's theater going to mean for us?
I mean, as I said earlier, I think that the thing that theatre offers that is unique is this ability to bring people together of different, groups who don't know each other, essentially strangers, and share a moment in a space together. I don't think that's ever going to change. I think that's, if we go back to 350 BC when Aristotle wrote the Poetics, he was reflecting on theatre and how it fulfilled a role then. And I think that that role, yes, it's changed in terms of how we do it and the style and the form. And there are multiple influences now that are far beyond the Aristotelian Greek theatre. But we still essentially do the same thing. We bring a group of people together under one roof to share a story. I don't think that's ever going to change. And in my view, yes, we can disseminate theatre more broadly using digital platforms, using our phones, and so on, but it's not the same. Theatre itself is a live act with live audience sitting watching live people. You can get the story and the aesthetic and the of watching something at. I think that's why when the NT Live, the National Theatre Live, and those series that have done well. In being broadcast, they've done well when broadcast at a cinema because the cinema becomes close to recreating the experience of sitting with strangers watching it. I think if you're watching those at home, they're often quite a soulless exercise, in my view. You don't get the same experience, so I don't think that's gonna change. One of the biggest challenges I think we have, and certainly in South Africa, is that our economy, theatre requires an audience. With a disposable income of some kind. We're very lucky that the Market Theatre receives funding from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. It's not enough to deliver our full program. What we have from the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture for our program at the moment is 4 million rand, and we currently deliver a 10 to 15 million rand program. We're able to do that in a way that's affordable-ish to audiences. Because essentially, the government, every time you come and buy a ticket, is giving, is putting an extra 60% of the ticket price into our pockets. So, you're spending 200 rand on a ticket that actually costs us 600 rand a seat. Our biggest challenge and our biggest challenge across the country is how do we remain financially sustainable? We know that there's an audience that wants to come, but if we started to push our ticket prices to what the actual cost of it was, which was 600 rand, we wouldn't be seeing the audiences we're seeing. The fact that we sell our tickets for two more like 200 rand just makes it viable. But we really need the support not only of government but others who are able to help guide us and give us the capacity to offer that subsidized space. And that's true anywhere in the world. And across the world, theatres are struggling to remain sustainable unless they high-end commercial theatres in London, where you are now paying 150, £200 to watch a show. But that's a much more kind of commercial exercise.
200 rand is 4.5 cups of designer coffee. Just so people need a measuring stick at a decent coffee shop by a skilled, exciting, enthusiastic barista. 4.5 cups. You can work on that basis. Maybe that you can use that in your advertising. Just 4.5 cups of good coffee.
I know the Baxter Theatre says, they say buy us a cup of coffee, and they use that as a kind of fundraising exercise, and so on. But as I say, we're at a very affordable space, I think, in terms of what we're able to offer. And we hope that people will, if they haven't been here for a while, come join us, be here for our 50th year, and I'm almost certain you're going to want to come back.
Greg, you have said everything I was going to say as a closing. So that's let me just say thank you. Greg Holman, Artistic Director, Market Theater, 50th anniversary. Lots of good stuff coming up. Go and see it. Buy tickets. Remember, it's the future of theater as well as the past and the present, and you will enjoy it. And I guarantee that. And I look forward to seeing you there at the market, many, many of you over the next year. This has been Brooke Spector with the Deep Dive, and we'll be back again next week with another program at this time, 9 o'clock Friday morning, and then repeated via podcast forever. You can listen to it to your heart's content. You take care. Have a good weekend. Be safe.